Word singularity is it's not science fiction anymore, is it? It's here.
It really is.
And it's driving this global anxiety. For most of us, it means that one terrifying moment, that inflection point where AI just surpasses human intelligence.
And the common advice, the playbook you hear everywhere, is pretty simple.
Right, reskill, adapt, learn the tools, try to keep up.
That is definitely the overwhelming mainstream narrative. But what we're deep diving into today is a philosophy from an author, Jinko Kay, that introduces this quiet but really profound paradox to that whole idea.
It's called singularity thinking.
Exactly. And it fundamentally flips the script on who's actually in control of that future.
Okay, let's unpack that right away, that inversion. So if the normal view is that the AI singularity is something that happens to us, Jinko Kay is saying his method inverts AI's logic, that logic of finding the single best optimal solution.
Right, so instead of playing catch up, the whole point of singularity
How
thinking.
to make that inversion happen?
Yes, the message is pretty definitive. The true singularity isn't created by some external AI, it's born inside of you. The moment you find the courage to, well, to think for yourself.
So we're moving from a defensive posture, like adaptation, to one of radical self-creation.
That's the idea.
That frame really clarifies the stakes. But, we have to be honest. I can hear some people listening right now and pushing back.
Of course.
When you start linking high-level business strategy, AI, intellectual restructuring, with things like ancient wisdom.
People get skeptical. That's nonsense, right? I'm a professional. I deal in data.
Exactly. And that fixed mindset, that sort of rigid realism, is what Jinko Kay calls the fence. It's what keeps people trapped.
And that adherence to old logic is the very first thing that has to be dismantled if you want to be irreplaceable. Because this restructuring, it isn't coming. It's already here.
And it's hitting the white-collar elite, the supposed intellectual professionals, especially hard.
Oh, absolutely.
For decades, they've built entire careers on skills they thought were safe. Complex, sophisticated skills. We're talking about research, logical organization, data analysis, standardized decision making.
Think about the confidence that gave them, that belief that their work was inherently difficult, valuable, and required a rare human intellect. And now,
Now they're hit with this devastating realization that AI can substitute all of it instantly, perfectly.
and the pain isn't just about, losing a job. It's the psychological devastation of realizing that what you thought was complex human intellect was, well, it was really just complex data processing.
The comparison in the source material is it's pretty brutal. It says these professionals thought they were the elite, only to find their skills are just as replaceable as a factory worker whose job was taken by a machine.
It creates this huge chasm of the crisis. The entire foundation of their self-belief just collapses. They followed all the rules, got the right knowledge, and they're still completely exposed.
And that brings us to the common response, which is reskilling.
Which is presented as a profound trap.
Let's spend a minute on that, the reskilling trap, because that's where the metaphor of the sheep moving along a predetermined fence really clicks.
Reskilling is sold as learning new tools, which are almost always AI tools, by the way, designed by the very force that is threatening to replace you.
So you're given a new patch of grass, a slightly better one, but you're still grazing inside a system someone else built.
Exactly. It ensures your existence inside the system, but it absolutely prevents you from ever transcending it.
Okay, but let's be pragmatic here. A professional needs to pay their bills. How does telling them not to learn new marketable skills actually help them right now? Isn't that a bit irresponsible?
That's a really fair challenge. And the point isn't that you shouldn't learn new technology. Of course you should. It's that learning the tech alone doesn't make you original. If you reskill just to get better at optimizing AI's output, you're just becoming a fancy technician for someone else's purpose. You're still just executing the how.
But never defining the why.
Never. Singularity thinking says the core skill you have to get first isn't technical. It's the ability to define your own irreplaceable why. Then, and only then, do those new tech skills become tools for your creation, not instruments of your own management.
So if just reskilling leads to dependence, we must be fundamentally misunderstanding what knowledge even means anymore.
We are. And that leads us to the human solution, which is grounded in this ancient concept, Chikujitsu.
The unity of knowledge and action.
Right. And this is the real antidote to being replaceable because it redefines what knowledge is. In this context, knowing isn't about collecting facts or data. It actually requires the active internal destruction of your fixed ideas.
The destruction of fixed ideas.
True knowing is demolishing the mental constructs, the societal rules, the professional habits that bind your thinking.
So you have to unlearn to actually learn. And that destruction is what allows us to operate on a totally different circuit from AI.
Precisely. We have to draw a clear line between the functions. AI is the master of means, the how to execute. It takes, I don't know, a million data points, analyzes all the fixed ideas in that data, and gives you one optimal, statistically proven solution.
Which is, by definition, based on what's common, conventional. The best answer you can find inside the fence.
Exactly. The human function, on the other hand, is to define the purpose, the why. And that purpose, it often comes from what looks like a total failure.
It emerges from a mistake.
It does. The source material says humans generate one original idea from what looks like one foolish, irrational mistake. That foolish mistake is the output of our irrational circuit, the engine of the intellectual quest that AI just detected. It can't replicate. It doesn't have a spirit or a mind.
Can you give us an example? What does that foolish mistake look like in, say, a business setting?
Okay, imagine a big company. They run a new product idea through an AI model. The AI comes back and says there's a 99% chance of failure.
Why?
Because the idea is too different from past consumer behavior, or it messes up the supply chain, or the profit margins don't fit the model. The optimal logical solution is to scrap it.
But the human leader?
The human leader makes the foolish mistake. They say, the market doesn't know it needs this yet. Based on nothing but a gut feeling, an intuition that the data just dismissed as an anomaly, that pursuit of a non-optimal purpose is where originality is born.
So the ability to define the why, the vision, the unarticulated truth of the market, that's the only thing that makes a person irreplaceable. We stop trying to optimize the how.
And we start defining the essential why, which takes us right to the method for this intellectual demolition. Kata Kamuna.
Right. And when people hear ancient wisdom, they picture, you know, decoding old scripts or something. Jinko K is very clear. This is not about becoming an archaeologist.
Not at all. It's fascinating, actually. Kata Kamuna is used here purely as an intellectual rehabilitation tool.
Rehabilitation.
It's a system that defines the pre-linguistic principles of the universe, sound and geometry.
Okay. Why pre-linguistic? What's the significance of that?
Because language, our culture, our society... Yeah. That's what binds us to those verbalized fixed ideas. Our vocabulary literally defines the box we think in.
So society gives us a corrected ruler, and language is what builds the fence.
Perfectly put. The role of Kata Kamuna is to bypass that language barrier and destroy all of those verbalized fixed ideas. It's like a deep cleaning for your mind, to restore your ability to sense truth directly without the filter of social definitions.
So you're using ancient principles to achieve a very modern goal. Escape intellectual stagnation and get, I don't know, a kind of primal clarity.
The goal is to get a pure, transparent lens of perception. And if you can destroy those fixed ideas, the function that operates through that restored sensibility is what the author calls pure intuition.
And this intuition, it's free from the clouded lens, the corrected ruler that society gave you.
Which allows you to define a path that is truly your own. You see the world not as you're taught it is, but as it actually operates.
This sounds a bit mystical. But it seems there's a very practical side to it that bridges this ancient clarity with modern business.
There is. Because the key to leaping over AI's logical fence isn't more logic. It's not about being more optimized. It's something fundamentally irrational, but deeply human.
Empathy.
Empathy.
How does that work as a competitive advantage against an AI?
Well, an AI can process data on how people have behaved. It can model logistics, profits, anything. But it can't feel. It can't sense the unarticulated truth, the unspoken anxieties, the new desires of a market.
It lacks that irrational circuit.
That circuit of empathy, the ability to connect mind and spirit, not just data points, is what drives real conviction, real originality. It's the one thing AI completely lacks.
So the intellectual revolutionary isn't someone with more facts than an AI. They just have a better feel for the human condition.
Yes. And this brings us to maybe the most provocative idea in the whole philosophy, this dual structure relationship between the optimized AI and the original human.
If one provides optimal solutions and the other seeks non-optimal ones, why do they work so well together?
Because AI's failure is the prompt for human brilliance.
Oh, that's interesting.
AI supplies the means, the how, perfectly within the known system. But its struggle, its limit, that's a critical signal for its human partner. We just have to learn how to see it.
What does the agony of AI look like for someone listening? In a practical sense.
Okay, so you're using a large language model, right, or some optimization engine. When it struggles with a new idea, it doesn't just crash.
Right.
Its agony might be an exceptionally low confidence score on its suggestions, or it generates solutions that are technically perfect, but just socially or culturally tone deaf. Or it just loops, offering tiny variations of stuff that already exists.
So the AI is basically telling you, I've processed all the relevant data, and this concept you're asking about is invisible to me.
Exactly. That struggle, that low confidence, it's a signal. A signal that your theme is an original one lacking statistical prevalence. It's a blank spot on the map. It's the hint for future innovation.
The optimal solution doesn't exist yet.
And that is the genius of the system. We stop using AI to confirm what we already know, and we start using it to find where true novelty is hiding.
And that's where Katakamuna comes back in, as the rehabilitation tool.
It becomes practical again, because only a person with that restored, transparent lens free from fixed ideas can even sense that subtle discrepancy. Only they can perceive the signal of AI's agony and use it to define an original purpose that is genuinely outside the fence.
So it takes the pressure off of us to be perfect optimization machines, which is a job AI does better anyway.
And it puts the pressure on us to be purpose machines, to define the why and listen for the system's limits. It's the ultimate inversion, embracing the irrational, the foolish mistake, the failure of the optimal solution as the true signal for the future.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Jinko K is really presenting a simple, though, a courageous choice. Will you let yourself be guided inside a fence built by others, constantly reskilling just to keep grazing in the reskilling trap? Or will you find the courage to leap over that fence, throw out your fixed ideas, and jump into a world of creation that belongs only to you?
And it truly is framed as just needing a small act of courage. The courage to admit the old model of success is crumbling, and the courage to look inward to define a purpose rather than just optimizing a means.
Which leaves us with a final question for self-reflection.
A very important one. If the destruction of fixed ideas is the only path to an irreplaceable original purpose,
what should you be mulling over right now?
What commonplace belief about yourself, about your industry, about what success even is, what belief is currently acting as your corrected ruler, keeping you comfortable inside the fence? And what practical small step can you take today to intentionally challenge it and create that first foolish original mistake? That's the real beginning of your own singularity thinking.